You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party's Carmel Cipollone.
Last week's Waitangi Day had a notable absence, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon. Instead, he chose to spend the day with Kai Tahu. The move drew some criticism, particularly as all other political leaders were at Waitangi. It comes after National Minister Tama Pōtaka overhauled the Waitangi Tribunal earlier this year. 8 members of the tribunal were replaced with controversial new appointments. The new appointments include political pundit Philip Crump and former ACT Party leader Richard Preble. They replaced highly regarded experts, particularly on Maturanga Māori, and do not bring these expertise themselves. And the Salvation Army has released their latest State of the Nation report. The report showed an increase in families struggling with the cost of living, forcing them onto the benefit in record numbers. Pacifica children were particularly impacted by food insecurity, with half going without food compared to a quarter of children nationally. Rent was labelled as a stress factor for families as it becomes increasingly unaffordable compared to wages. And violence against children, as well as violent crime, had both also increased. For our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party, I speak to Labour Deputy Leader Carmel Cipollone about all of these topics. What was Waitangi Day like for you this year?
It was an amazing time because there's the tensions obviously going on given the politics up at Waitangi, but there's still kotahitanga and unity among everyone else who is not the government. So, for me as Deputy Leader of the Labour Party, I felt quite privileged to be able to share that space and that time with everyone that we were able to meet whilst we were up there. I didn't stay up there for Waitangi Day. More often than not, I do come back on Waitangi Day for Hoani Waititi, which is one of the biggest events held in West Auckland. And again, that was just all about kotahitanga and unity. And I think the government, I hope, were watching because it was certainly something for them to learn.
Did it make a difference not having the Prime Minister there?
Yeah, I think there was a real level of disappointment that he didn't have the courage to show up. Yes, there have been testing times. Yes, a large proportion of the country, including, of course, Māori, are angry and bewildered that he has even allowed the Treaty Principles Bill to go through first reading. But he still has a responsibility to front. He is the leader of this country, and there's an expectation that the Prime Minister will be there. In many ways, I think, by default, it was really bizarre because it felt like Chris Hipkins was the Prime Minister, was still filling that role, given that the actual Prime Minister wasn't there.
Earlier this year, the Waitangi Tribunal was overhauled by the government. Is it concerning to have lost certain expertise, including on Maturanga Māori, from the tribunal?
Yes, absolutely. These are people that are well-respected professionals in their field. And on top of that, they have a deep understanding of Maturanga Māori. And so they brought a lot to the Waitangi Tribunal. It was like a very unnecessary, spiteful clean-out in many ways. And some of the people that they have replaced them with are highly questionable. People like Richard Preble, people who have not necessarily shown the respect for the Waitangi Tribunal that you would expect in the past, and people who don't necessarily have that Maturanga Māori that you would assume would help inform their role.
Is strengthening the tribunal and upholding their recommendations a priority for you as part of the Crown's treaty obligations?
It will always be, and it has been in the past, and it will continue to be. And our aim is still to make sure that this is a one-term government and that we get back in, and then we put things like the integral Waitangi Tribunal back on track in a way that we are able to achieve the progress as a nation that we all want to achieve.
And what were some of the key insights from the Salvation Army's State of the Nation report?
Oh, there were so many concerning parts to that report. One was the food insecurity that children are experiencing across the country. Such a high level, and yet we've had a government who are giving out fewer hardship grants despite the fact we've got higher unemployment and more people on benefit. And refuse to give more money to food banks, who are often the last port of call for those people that need food. Child poverty is not on the right trajectory, and we know that given the high numbers of people unemployed, high numbers of people going on benefit, and all of the cuts that have been made by this government, that it is not set to improve. In fact, we've seen the government shift the goalposts to try and make it more achievable. So there is a lot to be concerned about. Also, increased violent crime, increased violence against children. For the first time in many years last year, we saw the cohort of children going into Oranga Tamariki care increase. There is a lot to be concerned about.
In many ways, our social progress is going backwards. Would you say that's a direct result of this government's policies?
It's not just our social progress that's going backwards, it's our economic progress that's going backwards. I was said in the House yesterday that the only places we're seeing growth in this country is in the unemployment rate and in the large numbers of people that are going hungry, and also the large numbers of people that we're seeing homeless. Now, that is a direct result of this government's actions, and it just cannot continue. We're working hard to hold this government to account so that this changes next year.
What policy approach would you take to address material hardship amongst families?
Well, first and foremost, we wouldn't be in a position where we've experienced the job losses en masse that we've seen under this government. There's been over 13,000 jobs lost in building and construction, over 10,000 jobs lost in the public sector. We've got health freezes in places like our health hiring freezes in places like our health system. In fact, some of our graduate nurses are looking overseas. And talking about going overseas, we've got more New Zealanders going overseas than ever before. Record numbers of people choosing to pack up and leave. Now, that is a direct result of this government's policy decisions, and it is having an impact on the well-being of New Zealanders. They thought by electing this government that they would be better off, but they're not seeing that. People are losing jobs, energy bills are still high, rates bills are high, rent bills are high, food and cost of living is still high, and people are struggling.
One in four children, but half of Pacifica children, are going without food. Does there need to be targeted policies to support Pacific communities?
There does need to be targeted policies to support our kids to ensure that they're not going hungry. And one of those policies that we did put in place was the Lunch in Schools program. And we have seen that completely meddled with by David Seymour. And that program is in the midst of chaos at the moment because of his decision to take those school lunches out of the hands of community people who were preparing them and the people that those schools chose to prepare them, not only jeopardising the lunches program, but jeopardising jobs in those communities. And what we're seeing is those lunches not showing up. Those lunches are looking less than appealing. Those that have dietary requirements not getting their lunches. The lunches not showing up on time, sometimes not showing up until after school has finished. And so they messed with something that was working that should have been expanded, not reduced. But again, it shows the government's priorities. They chose to try and save money on lunches in schools, therefore not prioritising our children. And yet we're more than happy to put $217 million worth of tax breaks into the tobacco industry and to give landlords over $2 billion worth of tax breaks. That just goes to show the type of choices that this government is willing to make or take, and the fact that our children are not a priority for them.
That was Labour's Carmel Sepoloni on Waitangi Day and the Salvation Army's latest State of the Nation report.
That was our weekly chat with the Labour Party. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.